we're having a special class which is really geared for everyone because it's relevant to everyone and it's also relevant to the Jewish home. But it is a class that's really about leaving Machon Meir and staying in Machon Meir. And usually I delay this class, but because it's relevant to so many people, so we'll have to have it tonight. One of the beautiful things about Machon Meir is that Machon Meir wants you to leave. Some places just want you to stay. Machon Meir wants you to grow and grow and grow and reach a point where Machon Meir is not good enough for you. Come back and be a Rebbe here. But our goal is that you guys should outgrow Machon Meir. We want to give you tools so that you can take them with you and build good homes and be good observant Jews, good normal Jews. And you guys might have noticed that Machon Meir is very open. You have all kinds of Rebbeim here. And even though the Machon has a general mahalach, the Machon has its philosophy, as every normal institution should, it still has a lot of open-mindedness to different shades of the different understandings within Judaism. When one is in yeshiva, so one is like the Jews in the desert. You're surrounded by clouds. You don't have to deal with too much. You have to deal with a roommate. You have to deal with living conditions. That could be too much. Okay. Well, you have to live with certain living conditions. You have to live with certain food. But at the end of the day, compared to life, you have a situation where you could learn. And it's like being in the desert where the Jewish people had man fall down from heaven. The man wasn't the food that they would have necessarily chosen, even though it was God-given and had a lot of advantages and perks. We see they still had room to complain about the man. They had clothing that stayed good for 40 years. Simnat techa lo valeta me'alecha, God says. Your clothing didn't wear thin 40 years. You've been wearing the same clothes. So a person might say, I want a new suit. I want a new tie. Yeah, there's always room to complain. You could also complain that here at Machon Meir, you don't have the greatest styles to choose from. But at the end of the day, you have your laundry, do your laundry, you could learn. There is an element where Machon Meir is like being in a little bubble. Every yeshiva, not only Machon Meir. When you go to yeshiva, you have the advantage that no one's bugging you. You don't have your past to pull you down, and you don't have your future to contend with yet. All you have to do is focus on building yourself so that you can build your future. And usually in life, when we're in the Garden of Eden, we're displeased with it. Usually people in every institution find reasons to say why the institution isn't good enough. This could be better and that could be better. Yeah, Yisro came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, you know, it ain't good what you're doing. You're going to wear out. How come you're the only one teaching the Jewish people? There are long lines. You got to have other people helping you out. You know, you got to do something else. You got to appoint other people and they'll help you out. Sages say Yisro had seven names. One of his names was Yeser. Why is he called Yeser? Because he added a parasha to the Torah. Yeser means more. He added Hotir. He added another parasha to the Torah. What parasha did he add? So our sages say he added the parasha V'ata techezeh mikol ha'am anshei chayil. You should appoint people from the nation who are responsible, good people who will lead them. And the question is asked, Yisro began his speech a few sentences earlier. He began his speech by saying, this isn't good what you're doing, it's not going to work, you're going to wear out. Why do we say Yisro added to the Torah the parasha of Moshe Rabbeinu, you got to appoint people to delegate responsibility, the other people that will also guide the people. And I don't remember who it is that answers, that if Yisro would have just said, this isn't good, you're going to wear out, this isn't going to work, we wouldn't give him any credit. To stand and just say what's not good, you don't get credit for that. Anyone can stand and say it's not good. But if you come with a solution, if you actually make things better, like Yisro did, then we give you credit. And that's why we say, Yisro added a parasha to the Torah. Which parasha? The solution that he gave, not the complaint that he gave. If it were just the complaint, then we don't give him credit. So it's very easy, And it's very normal that when a person is faced with a rabbi, or a class, or an institution, the first thing he does is say, what's wrong with it? And I'm not coming to say that Machon Meir is perfect, even though it might be. I'm a big fan of Machon Meir, sorry, I don't just work here, I love the place. But the truth is that I love the place objectively. I think that this place is a gold mine, and the place really, really gives everyone a lot. And the fact that the place is so accepting of every person and his needs, so no place can give everyone what they need, but the place gives everyone as much as they can. And when a person's here, the first thing he's going to notice is, you know, it's cold here. You guys notice? At night, it's pretty cold. You know, the rooms are cramped. 7 people in a room, this isn't what I expected. 6. Oh, okay. You're living it up. you know, the food here is not, it doesn't come close to my mother's food. You know what supper is like here? Yeah, but let's think, what's important? So you'll say, well, this rabbi's class isn't for me, and that rabbi's class isn't for me. Fine, but there are so many. Choose. You have a conglomerate of jewels to choose from. And it's every person's responsibility to take advantage of it. When I first came to Rabbi Feinstein's yeshiva, so I went to his shir. And the way Rabbi Feinstein gets shir is that he reads the Gemara and explains, and he reads Rashi and explains, and he reads Tosus and explains, and then he continues. So I sat in the shir for a day, and 2 days, and 3 days, and I walked out and I said, I don't know what everyone gets so excited about. He just read the Gemara. I did that before I came into class. I prepared, I understood the Gemara. He read it too. He explained it. Why do people rave about Rabbi Feinstein? So I spent another day and another day, and after a few weeks I said, look, I know he has a great reputation, but I don't see what this reputation is. I don't see it in the shir. So I packed my bags and left. I left the yeshiva. I went to another yeshiva. I came to the other yeshiva, and people asked me, where are you from? So I said, I'm from MTJ. You're from MTJ? Where did I find being such a genius? And I kept encountering this one time after another, people kept telling me, he's such a genius. Suddenly I said, hey, wait a second, if this is what everyone's saying, there must be something to it. So I packed my bags again and went back to MTJ. And this time I spent 15 hours preparing for the class. And after spending 15 hours preparing for the class, that he learns a large section, he learns almost an amud in each shir, I had a list of 30 questions on the Gemara and on the Rashi and on the Tosus. Came into class prepared. And I'm listening to the way he reads the Gemara. And as he's reading and translating and explaining, he's suddenly answering question number one, check. Question number two, check. I walk out of class, he answers between 20 and 25 of the questions that I had as he read it. He didn't tell me what he's answering. He didn't say, you know, I'm coming to answer up the question from here and the question from there. He just reads. But as he's reading, what he learns is Pshat is already answering up so many questions that if you learned in depth, then you understood what he was teaching. If you walked in and you just read and prepared, so you thought he was just reading the Gemara. Sometimes we don't appreciate things. Most of the times we don't appreciate things till we leave them. How many of you thought you'd miss your families like this? How many of you thought you'd miss that nagging sibling or that nagging parent or your mother telling you, did you wear a sweater and don't forget to put your scarf on? When you're there, you say, okay, it's a pain in the neck. When you're away from it, suddenly you miss it. And the same thing's going to be for every person that leaves here. When you're here, so certain things feel like the small things can outshine the big things. You know, if you put a penny in front of your eye, you won't see the sun. The sun is much, much bigger than the penny. But the question is, what do you put in front of your eye? When you put something close to your eye, and that's what you focus on, you can't see the bigger things. So sometimes when we're here, the little things can really get to us, and that's normal. But we have to remember the big picture. What are we getting, and what are the difficulties, and what's it worth? Everyone has to make a parnasa. You guys are going to sign that dotted line in which you tell your wife, Vana and I, Ezon, will feed, Vachalkel, and will support. The Ezon, Vachalkel, the, I don't remember the continuation. I'm going to take care of you. Bottom line, that's what you're signing on the Ksuba. and you say, I'm going to take care of you, and it's not that you'll get a portion of my income. So if my income is zero, you could have 80% of it. But you're saying, and even the shirt off my back, I'm going to take care of you. So every person has to think about how he's going to make ends meet. I'm not coming here to say that people should stay at Machon Meir for life. I begin by saying, our goal is to see you move forward. But I, and it's important. Every person has to think where he's going to make his living and how he's going to support a family after he leaves Machon Meir. That's important. And I'll be happy to think it through with everyone. At the same time, we have to think about learning Torah. You guys are going to leave here, and your kid is going to tell you he wants you to learn Gemara with him. Do you have the skills to do that? Your kid is going to come home with the Parsha. Do you have a handle on the Parsha? You're going to get married and build a home, and you're going to have to know how to make Kiddush and all the Minhagim. And don't be like those guys who come under the chuppah and they can't even say the blessings well. You got to know how to read well. You got to know how to say Shifchayu well. There are basic skills that every person has to gain, and that's everyone's responsibility. There's also balance. When you walk in and you start learning, so you don't know what a balanced life is. It seems like, okay, whatever it says, I'll do. You guys, your new crowd. You haven't yet heard the story about the guy, the girl who came and asked for a divorce and asked her why. You heard it already. She said, my husband's nuts. So the rabbis asked her, what's crazy about him? She says, Friday night, he comes to make Kiddush. He dips his eyes into the glass of wine, and then he makes Kiddush. So the rabbis call in the husband and ask him, what's going on? So the husband says, it says in Shulchan Aruch, Yiten Einav Bakos. Yiten Einav literally means place your eyes in the cup. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's true. But the Shulchan Aruch means you got to look at the cup as you make Kiddush. But the guy, what does he know?
Is this a true story?
True story. I heard it from the rabbi who was there. This story I heard from the rabbi. He's not with us anymore, but I heard it from the rabbi. What? I don't know if they got divorced in the end.
That she
came? Yeah, 100%. True story. That was one of her claims. She said, the guy's crazy. I mean, wait a second. We are here in Machon Meir. I remember a few years ago, guys came to me and said, do you wear a yarmulke to the shower? So I said, no, you don't wear a yarmulke to the shower. So they all looked at me, what do you mean, don't wear a yarmulke to the shower? So I said, you don't wear a yarmulke to the shower. So they said, why not? I said, first of all, because everyone around you doesn't wear a yarmulke to the shower. The first rule. You see, no one else does it. Don't you do it either. Turns out that one guy decided, why shouldn't you wear yarmulke to the shower? So he wore yarmulke to the shower. Other guys saw him and decided, he's doing it, must be a pious thing to do. So it started being a fad, wearing yarmulke to the shower. So, what?
Only you.
I haven't yet showered here. I don't know. Sorry.
There's
balance, which doesn't come the first day you're here, doesn't come the first few months you're here. A person has to spend time and see Shabbos meals and go to people's homes and learn and question, and slowly you start learning. One of the things that every person has to try and do during his period here at Machon Meir is Asei Lecha Rav, acquire a Rebbe. There are a lot of guys who I'm in touch with after they leave Machon Meir. My recommendation to everyone always is find someone else. But if you want me, so be in touch. I don't refuse anyone. I just recommend to go to someone else, because you'll never catch me by phone. Those of you who have tried, know it's very hard. The only way to stay in touch is email, and even that's very hard because we're running close to 100 emails a day right now, so it's a little difficult. I have to be very short in the emails, but I care. Those of you who want, fine. I recommend, if you could find someone else, you have my full recommendation, go with someone else. But if you want, we'll stay in touch. But someone should be your Rav. There should be someone who you want to stay in touch with for a long time. Not for a year. I'd like to see you with someone for your whole life. If not for your whole life, at least till you're married, and then you'll choose a Rav with your wife. But a person should always have a Rebbe. So I learned when I was in America by Rav David Feinstein. I came to Israel, I started searching. I wanted Rav Nevenzahl. He should live and be well. And there were certain areas in Halacha that he didn't want to answer, so he sent me to Rav Halberstam Zatzal. So I was by Rav Halberstam, and Rav Halberstam from Eida Haredi. And you'd be surprised, soldiers walked into him with guns. He was he loved all of Am Yisrael. A very amazing person. And when he passed away, so I found myself stuck. So I searched and searched and searched, and now there's another Rav who I ask him our questions. A person in every stage of his life should have a Rebbe. And even if he's not the greatest person in Am Yisrael, so long as you feel he's a good person and he knows Torah well, so he could answer your questions, and what he doesn't know, he'll say, I don't know, we'll ask someone else. So that's fine. And if it cannot be someone local at this stage of your life, it could be a Rebbe in the country you came from. It doesn't matter. But you should not leave Machon Meir till you have a Rebbe that's your Rebbe. There are a lot of things you should have before you leave Machon Meir, but this is one of them. The Jews were in the desert and they had the man falling from heaven every day. And God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, take a vessel and put in some man in that vessel. And that man should stay with the Jewish people forever. And the question I ask every person is, what are you taking with you from yeshiva? And before I ask that question, I want to go back a step. Sometimes people get discouraged when they're in yeshiva because they learn and they forget. So there's a medrash that Rav Soloveitchik used to quote, and the medrash goes as follows. The medrash says, a king came to his people, he came to a town, and he said to them, tomorrow morning you see this pond, I'm going to send a wagon filled with barrels, and I want the whole town to take tomorrow off, take the barrels, go to the pond, fill the barrels with the water, now go over, you see that ditch over there? Take the barrels to the ditch and pour out the water into the ditch. All day, that's what I want you guys to do. Your faithful subject, tomorrow you take the day off of work, you spend the day taking my barrels, going to the pond, filling the barrels, going to the ditch, emptying the barrels into the ditch. So the townspeople say, yes, our king. They prepare themselves the next morning, wagons come up filled with barrels, and the townspeople each grab the barrel, they go to the pond, they fill up the barrels, they start taking them to the ditch, and by the time they get to the ditch, there's very little water left. They look, they see these barrels are leaky, so the barrels can't hold the water. So they try once, they try twice, they see it all leaks out, so one by one they drop the barrels. They say the king must have made a mistake here. So one by one they put down the barrels and they go to their daily work. There's one guy who says, I don't know, this is what the king told me to do. He said, fill the barrel, go to the ditch, pour out what water is in the barrel, and go back to the pond. So that's what I'm doing. He takes his barrel all day long, he's doing it. At the end of the day, the king rides up and he sees only one man doing it. So he asks him, where's everyone else? So he says, look, this is what happened. They saw the barrels were leaky, so they all left. So the king gathers all the townspeople and he asks, and they tell him, we realize there must have been a mistake because the barrels are leaky. So the king says, there was no mistake. I didn't tell you I needed the water in the ditch. I told you to fill the barrels and pour them out in the ditch. I needed to clean out those barrels. And I figured the best way to clean them out is you guys fill them up in the pond and carry them, and as the water leaks out, it'll clean out my barrels. My goal wasn't to have the ditch full. The Medrash says that's the way it is with learning Torah. People think that learning Torah is like filling the barrel and taking it to the ditch. If we learn Torah one day and then the next day we have all the Torah we learned, so I understand why I'm learning Torah. But if we learn Torah one day and the next day we try to review what we've learned and we find it's like a leaky barrel, there's very little left, especially after a week or after a month or after a year, so our thought is, let me give up. This can't be what God wants of me, because the barrels are, my head's leaky, I can't retain this information. And the answer is no. Just like those barrels, when the water leaked out, it cleaned out the barrels, so too as the Torah comes to us, it cleans us. The Torah makes us into different people. Now, of course, we're supposed to invest time and thought in our learning, to think how to make our learning, how to fashion our learning in a way that we will not forget. Yet, at the same time, when we do forget, that's not a reason to give up. There's a saying, I know the guy went through Shas, but how much of Shas went through him? We have to think in terms of, on the one hand, we have to try and retain. On the other hand, it shouldn't discourage us when we forget. The Hasidic Rebbe's say that every person has to choose one mitzvah. It's an opinion already back in the times of the Rishonim that people should choose a mitzvah. The Gemara says in Megillah, they asked different Amoram, why'd you live a long life? And each one said, because I focused on this mitzvah, I was very, very careful about it. One said, even when I didn't have a penny to my name, when I had my last dime, I spent it on wine for Kiddush. I never missed wine for Kiddush. I always bought good wine for Kiddush. Even when I was running out of money and I'd have nothing left. Each one had their mitzvah they were focused on. So that's where some Rishonim learned this concept from, that every Jew is supposed to have his mitzvah. We once had a student here who was leaving Machon Meir, and he said to me, you know, I'm going to leave, and I don't think I'm going to keep anything. So what am I supposed to tell him? I asked him, are you going to keep kosher? He said, nah, I don't think so. So I said, are you going to keep Shabbos? He said, nah, it's going to be too tough. So I said, are you going to marry a Jewish girl? He said, I don't think so. So I said, okay, look, what am I supposed to tell you? You're telling me you're not going to keep. I feel bad. You spent a very short time with us here, and I feel like if you spent more time, maybe you'd feel more connected. He said, no, I feel connected. I appreciate the mitzvot. Just where I live, there isn't much kosher food. There aren't many Jewish girls. There's not much, there isn't a shul where I could keep Shabbos, so I don't see myself keeping any of it. So he was a young kid. I couldn't argue with him. I mean, fine, it's his life. You know, we each have our own free choice. But I told him, do me a favor. Every person is supposed to take one thing. So you can't keep everything. Keep one thing. Tell me what one thing you think you could keep. You'll tell me you'll give tzedakah each day a little bit. You'll give a nickel to tzedakah. Fine. You tell me you'll daven one tefillah a day. Fine. Think of one mitzvah you could do each day. So the guy surprised me, and he said, you know, I really like learning Torah. I'm going to learn the parasha each night before I go to sleep. I'll learn the parasha, the story of the parasha that week. So I said, fine. A few years ago, he came to visit me, and he came with a non-Jewish girl, unfortunately, and he said to me, Shnom, I'm still doing the parasha every night until I go to sleep. So you know what? Who knows where to lead? I don't know. We're still in touch by email every few months. We email one another, how are things doing? Fine. I like the guy. I wish him well. He's in my prayers. But you know what? Years later, what does he have? He has something. Now, you guys, I don't think there's anyone here who's going to tell me he's not keeping kosher when he leaves Machon Meir. I hope not. After class, we'll go through it. And I hope every person here is going to marry a Jewish girl, and every person here is going to keep Shabbos, and all of the mitzvot. But you know what? Every person should try to focus on a mitzvah. Not at the expense of others, but take one thing. What are you going to take when you leave Machon Meir? Which mitzvah did you guys connect with? Is it davening? Is it your tefillin? Is it Kriyas Shema? Is it chesed? Is it tzedakah? Is it kibbutz av ha'im? You know, there are 613. It can't be so tough. And a lot of them really are natural thoughts. If it's not natural to be nice to your fellow man, so maybe it's natural for you to give charity. If it's not natural for you to give charity, maybe it's nice to honor your parents. If it's not natural to be honor your parents, well, there are other mitzvot. There are 613. We're supposed to keep all of them. At the same time, before you leave, stop and think. And while you're here, I always tell guys that you should try to make a seder directly after davening. After davening, learn two halachot. You could do it, you take it to Shulchan Aruch, and you learn two halachot. And you know what? The Chafetz Chaim wrote a work about this thing called Shmiras HaLashon. And every night I have a chavrusa since my son was in the hospital a year ago. So there was another guy whose son was in the hospital, and they didn't know if his kid would make it. I came into the neonatal intensive care unit to see this sweet guy standing and crying over a baby. And what happened? The kid had three strokes in the span of a day. I'm standing there watching the guy weeping over his baby. So I figure I got to help him. I mean, what can I do? So I offered him, we'll learn every night. Well, you and I are both here in the hospital anyway. We'll learn. It's a year and a half later now. Our babies are both, Baruch Hashem, a month and 3 months old. It's a year and 3 months. And we're still learning. We finished the book already once. We're on our second time around. And we added to it, if you ever go online, we learn short Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. We learn every night. We learn on the phone. I see him twice a year, approximately. We don't see one another anymore. But we learn on the phone every night. In a few minutes, we learn about 3-4 minutes. And now we added another minute and a half to learn the Rambam's mitzvot, all 613 mitzvot. So each night we learn one. If you go to the Torah for Me, you'll see there's a Sefer mitzvot, Rambam Sefer mitzvot, 2 minutes in Hebrew. He's Hebrew speaking. Every night, you know what? With a few minutes each day, just a few minutes, you can finish whole works. I'm a big believer in that. everyone should take time to learn every day. If you want to really grow, you have to have a set seder, you have to have a shul that you go to, you have to have a community you're a part of, but you also have your own responsibility, and it's best to do that with your davening. Hopefully you'll daven every day, and then if right adjacent to the davening you have, you know that each day this is your learning, then that'll hold you in good stead. And I always say a person should always have one seder in his lifetime that's Yehora Glayantar. That you say, I don't care what, it could be World War III, there's an atomic war, but this learning I'm not giving up. Every other learning, you know, here and here. I was very fortunate that I had such a seder with a young chavrusa, and then on the day of my marriage, so I set up with him. Everyone went after the chaviyuch, and everyone sat down to eat. And I said to him, Reuven, it was Reuven, a guy in Merkaz Rav, said, we don't learn now, I ain't learning tonight. This is going to be a busy night. So we learned. We went to a side room, we learned for 4 or 5 minutes. Chazal say, if you want to acquire the crown of Torah, you're not allowed to forgo even a single night of learning Torah. Every night a person has to learn a little bit. If you want to get the crown of Torah in your life, every night you have to learn a little bit. So a person has to set up his life so he does learn. Now ideally you're supposed to learn a good part of the night. You can't do that. At least have one seder in your life that you know you don't go a day without learning. That's every person's responsibility. Now most guys, you tell them you're not allowed to shave with a razor. Oh really? I didn't know you're not allowed to shave with a razor. You're not allowed to leave a socket that's out. Biblical commandments. People don't know. You're not allowed to wear a garment that has shotness, that has woolen linen together. I didn't know that. You're not allowed to crossbreed animals. You're not allowed to crossbreed trees. We have 613 mitzvot. And many people are unaware of the mitzvot. You're not allowed to castrate your animal. You're not allowed to neuter an animal or a human being. So people don't know that. People neuter their animals. It's a biblical prohibition. People don't know. If you're not going to learn 613, you're not going to know 613. And every Jew is obligated to all 613. There are shortcuts. Chafetz Chaim wrote a short work called Sefer HaMitzvot, Sefer HaMitzvot HaMkutzar or HaKatzar or HaKatan, I don't remember the name, but they have it in English and you could learn. You could learn Sefer HaChinuch. Every person should try to make part of his life to learn the 613 mitzvot. It's not so difficult. Everyone could do it. Part of our challenge is, like Rabbi Akiva said, when I hadn't learned, if they tell me there's a Talmud Chacham, I'd say, give me a Talmud Chacham, I want to bite him like a donkey. Students ask him, why like a donkey? Other animals bite also. So he said, because when a donkey bites, he tears the flesh and breaks the bone. That's what I wanted to do to the rabbi. When we don't learn, so then the rabbi looks this small. The less you know, the smaller he looks. The less you know, the easier it seems you could conquer the Torah. Because if you don't know anything, so you figure, I've learned Torah. What's he doing all day? I also know Torah. So he knows a little bit more than me. When you don't know what there is to know. The more you know, the more you realize, okay, maybe I need to spend more time learning. One of the challenges that people face is that they don't know what there is to learn. We've had many guys come to Machon Meir telling us, I'm here for a night. We always say, Baruch Haba, the doors are open, we'll set you up. And then they say, I'll stay for a week. Say, great, you're welcome. And then they say, I'll stay for a month. And then they say, I'll stay for 2 months. And sometimes it becomes a year. The more you learn, the more you know there is to learn. When you don't learn, so it seems like, what's there to learn? So, I also learned Torah. I've learned Chumash. It's like the guy who came to Yeshiva and he said, what you guys learning? They said, oh, we're learning Bereishis. He said, Bereishis, I learned that when I was in first grade. That's what you grown men are learning? What kind of yeshiva is this? We cannot be that person. We have to grow. And part of growing is recognizing that there is what to learn. We're not allowed to leave our level at fifth grade level. You'll be surprised at how fast your kids advance. This past Shabbos, so my son tells me, Yaakov Avinu had a dream where he saw two angels. But I'm not sure, was it a dream or not a dream? Were they really angels? If it was a dream, then did he see angels? You guys get the question? If he's seeing angels, then it's not a dream. If it's a dream, then they're not angels. So which one is it? Okay, now that's a four-year-old. And that's not just my four-year-old. Kids ask good questions. What are you going to answer him? So if you learn, then hopefully you know what to answer. If you don't learn, what are you going to answer? You tell a kid, you're not allowed to stand on a table because the table's like a mizbeach. So the kid tells you, well, then are Kohanim allowed to stand on a table because Kohanim can stand on a mizbeach? I'm not kidding. I'm quoting you real questions. I could quote you a lot of real questions. Kids ask good questions. Why didn't Yaakov change his voice? How come his father says, questions I got this past Shabbos, how come his father says, you sound like Yaakov? Why couldn't Yaakov change his voice? Good question, no? Your kids are going to ask you the same questions. This is at 4 years old. So what's going to be when you have a 4 year old? You'll also get questions, I hope. I hope you'll send your kids to good day schools and they'll learn and then they'll come back and ask you questions. Well, you got to have answers. If this is at 4 years old, think what they're going to ask at 6 years old. I remember when my son was born, I looked at my wife and I said, it's a problem, I'm such an amaret. In a few years, he's going to start asking questions, what am I going to do? So I got nervous, I started learning. I'm still nervous. Okay, at some point, you say, I don't know, I asked the Rebbe, I don't know. But you guys also, I'm not the only one that should be nervous. You're all going to have kids, Be'ezrat Hashem. They're going to ask you good questions. So you have to learn. People sometimes think that I'll catch the classes online. So it's a good idea. I learn all the time. I learn classes online. I myself listen to classes. Those of you who see me walking, if I'm not walking with someone, I'm listening to an MP3 player usually. I'm listening to Shurim. You could learn a lot. But that doesn't solve the question of how am I going to grow. Everyone has a responsibility to learn. Our sages said certain rabbis were on one level and other rabbis were on another level. What's the difference between them? Those who sat in the front row and were able to see the rabbi and learn from the way he expressed himself, his expressions, they got to a much higher level than those who sat in the back row and they couldn't see the rabbi. There's a distinct difference between being able to see him and see him live. Hi. The webcam's worth a lot, but it's not the same thing. Bottom line, you're sitting here, you're seeing something else than those who are seeing it online. And certainly when you see, it's different than what you hear. On the one hand, we don't have rabbis who are on the level that we say you could learn from their every move. On the other hand, you still should hopefully be able to learn a lot from what you see about how a rabbi conducts himself when he enters class, when he leaves class, when he talks to people. Hopefully there's a lot to learn. And that's part of learning. I used to try and see how rabbis spoke to their wives. I always told young students that came to America as a rav, if you walk away from America as a rav with nothing else except for seeing Rabbi Avram Shapiro smile, you've gained a lot. Because you think a person who's such a genius, that Ravista Zalman Meltzer wrote about him that he was a genius. The greatest sages of yesteryear wrote great things on Chazon Ish, wrote great things about him, said great things about him. So you think a man like that's only going to have an austere look. Every time you look at him, he's going to look so focused on his learning. And suddenly you see a man who's such a genius, a man who Yom Kippur night for years would pace the hallways reciting shots by heart. Literally, my father, when he was a student there, because I still remember falling asleep to the sound of Rav Ram Shapiro pacing the hallways backwards and forwards, going through Yom Kippur night. Going through things that he remembered from Shas. That's how he'd spend his Yom Kippur night. So you see a man like that, and yet when you come to ask him a question, he greets you with the biggest smile you could imagine. There are many pictures of his smile. I think there's a lot to learn from that. So, on the one hand, yes, take advantage of the internet. On the other hand, don't kid yourself and think, I could leave, I'll just keep up on the internet. No, what you could get here is not what you could get online. You could get a lot online. It's not the same thing. Hashem gave us a gift. Hashem gave us an eternal gift. Nations can change their laws, but the Torah doesn't change. The Torah teaches us things for each generation, and the Torah is the eternal truth in this world. We have this gift, and we have to try to acquire as much of it as we can. And we also have to know that Hashem told us that every individual has a portion in Torah that no one else can uncover. Every one of you has chidushim in the Torah that you can acquire that no one else can. If you'll reveal them, good. If you don't, then the world will never get to hear those words of wisdom. If you learn and you attain the level where you can say things that are true, things that are correct, then you'll be able to reveal things in Torah that no one else could do. Everyone has their potential. And that's why the Torah is called Torato, his personal Torah. Each person has a personal section in the Torah that he can uncover that no one else can. That's why it's important when you come up with a good thought, write it down. When you come to your rabbi, ask him, is this correct? Is it not correct? But write it down. It's important. We don't want to lose your Torah. Hashem should give us all the zchut to realize our potential and continue growing. Be'ezrat Hashem, continue growing till 120. Like we began, we don't end when we leave Machon Meir. We just want to give you the tools and keep going. And if your rabbi is here at Machon Meir, stay in touch. And if your rabbi is somewhere else, so stay in touch with him. But I say lecha rav, every person is supposed to have a rebbe, and everyone has my blessings to continue. Well, our goal isn't to keep you here, but our goal is grow here so that you're ready to move forward, and then move forward.